Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, calls are being made for more investment to support those who survive a burn injury following the recent findings of the Stardust inquest and the state apology. My next guest says now is the time to provide services for burn survivors and their families. Mr. Oran Shelley is consultant plastic surgeon at St. James's Hospital in Dublin, and he joins me on the line now. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. You felt compelled to write this letter to the papers following the Stardust inquest. Will you tell us why?
Thanks very much. Well, I think they've waited too long, really. And I think, you know, one of the underlying themes when you look at life in Ireland is that people are waiting too long for apologies and for healthcare. And I think that's an underlying theme. I think we need to resource what we do properly so that we can ensure that people who deserve care get the care they need. And those people who have been survivors and indeed victims of the Stardust tragedy deserve that too.
Mm-hmm. I heard some of them speaking to Joe Duffy in the last couple of weeks describing what they have been through. But maybe from a healthcare point of view, you might talk to us about the legacy and the impact on a person when they've had a serious burn injury.
Well, I think the people who have survived a major burn injury, they're, you know, incredible individuals. They've got, you know, huge strength of character that comes about from having defeated, you know, the huge challenge and, you know, disaster that they faced. We look at the, you know, the care that these individuals need, both in the critical care phase and then in the recovery phase. And in both of these, I think that, you know, we're not adequately resourced. And I think we would truly struggle if there was going to be another, disaster today. And I think, you know, it's really important to recognise that disasters can't be predicted, but they can be planned for. And I think that what the government needs to do is to look and ensure that this area of healthcare is resourced properly, because at present it isn't.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that is missing? What is needed?
Well, we need those supports to deliver the, you know, the acute care. We need the therapists, you know, the psychotherapists. We all recognise, you know, the huge psychological impact that having a disfiguring and disabling injury would have. But actually, there isn't even a psychologist funded to support the burn service. And this is, you know, across the whole remit. You know, we've got a fantastic multidisciplinary team, and I really want to thank all the members of it, the nurses, the therapists, and all of the the clinicians that support it, dietitians, speech and language, social workers, physios and OTs. Really, you've got a fantastic team and colleagues. But a lot of those are doing it not as their main job, or they're doing it gratis, or they're doing it to help out, not because the government has funded it.
Mm-hmm. And so are you saying then that people who have burn injuries are marginalised in a way? Is that the correct way to describe it?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think they've been disadvantaged twice. I think they've had both the blow of the injury itself, and then I do think that they're being marginalised afterwards. They're perhaps often invisible, and often they perhaps don't seek the limelight. You know, it's very difficult if somebody has been left with a disfigurement or a disability to put themselves on show and say, look at me, and so forth. Particularly as they'll have a significant psychological effect of the injury itself. So they're not out there, and they are being marginalised. And I think it's really important that somebody who's passionate about this area of healthcare, that I and others advocate for them.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's probably case specific in terms of what individuals need, but what are the waiting times like in the service at the moment?
Well, of course, if people, we're a national centre in St. James's Hospital, so we'll accept people from around the country. So if there's, if we're busy and full, we've got to find space to put someone, we will always accept people. But that has a, you know, critical care requirement that needs to be kind of managed. But then the same team, myself included, is also delivering the reconstructive care. And it's very difficult to do both with the same level of delivery. Literally, you can't be in two places at the same time. So, you know, I'm passionate about ensuring that people have the tools to return, to be fully rehabilitated, to be fully reintegrated, and to return to society as, you know, valuable contributing members. But that needs reconstructive interventions, and that can include laser surgery, scar massage, and so on and so forth. And so the service struggles to deliver that. Mm-hmm. And we need an investment in that as well.
Are you the only surgeon doing post-burn reconstructive surgery?
I'm the only surgeon nationally doing that. So again, that's something that obviously isn't sustainable. And to have resilience, you need to have increased capacity. So we absolutely need to have more surgeons delivering burn care and burn reconstruction in Ireland.
And then if you have the surgeons, you need the care afterwards when it comes to the rehab, the physiotherapy.
Absolutely. We need more therapists. We need more psychologists to support both the physical and the psychological needs. And we know that there's a huge, what we call disability-adjusted life years or quality-adjusted life years. So while burns may not be so visible, actually, internationally, they're one of the largest causes of disability-associated life years globally. And that's the case particularly in less developed countries, but it's equally true in Europe where, you know, recent studies in the Netherlands have found that about 5% of the total disabilities adjusted life years relate to burn injuries.
Why is that, I wonder? Why is it that it is a marginalised discipline and that the care for these people who clearly so desperately need this, do you understand why it has happened in this way?
Well, I think, you know, probably people, well, in general, try to move on and they want to move on. And I think we are very good in this country at having responses to problems. And even earlier on your show, we hear about there's a problem and there's a response and there's a knee jerk and this, that and the other. And then we move on to the next problem. I think it would be very good for us to focus on problems, clinical problems within the country, and look, how can we solve these over the longer term? And somebody who's a child who has a burn injury will live with the effects of that injury for their entire life, and so too will their family. Mm-hmm. But this is not something that we've ever really considered as a country to look at that longitudinal aspect of someone's health and say, look, how is this going to be? Someone with cancer, of course, that's really important. But, you know, and that is resourced. And people say, well, there's a 5-year survival or a 10-year survival. But for somebody who's a child with a burn injury, they will live their entire life. And they will have that disability and scar their entire life.
So if we look at this in the context of the state apology to the victims of Stardust, you're saying if you really mean it, you'll invest in this service.
I'm saying if you really mean it, you'll invest in this service. And it's not about clever words, and it's not about, you know, apologies for something that happened, you know, even before people were born. This is about taking responsibility for actions and inactions for the years that people have had themselves responsibility for this area of healthcare. So I think these are, you know, really deserving individuals. And if you meet someone who has survived a major burn, or a family member of somebody who supports one of these individuals or who has lost someone, you'll see such a huge strength of character and realise that they're really true role models and people that you really want to do something for.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, if you're putting someone through your hands and your system, responsible for the fact that you're putting them out there into a post-operative world for them that is not supportive?
That's right. And I think it's unfair to them. And I think in many ways, you know, I will give my best, but I think that we've got a health service system that's, you know, disjointed, that it's disconnected, it's not putting all of these parts together, and then becomes dysfunctional. And I think it's failing those individuals in getting their full life back. So it might seem rather small. They might have a severe scar to their hand. And so to look at them, they might hide their hands and they might not be visible, you know, immediately to someone. But if surgery might actually allow them to stretch their hands a little bit further, that'll allow them to return to work in their trade, to return to playing music or to return to playing sports and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So in many ways, the lack of access is depriving those individuals of a full return to the life that they could enjoy.
All right. Well, let's hope the message is getting through. Oran Shelley, thank you for joining us on the programme. Consultant, plastic surgeon and director of the National Burns Unit at St James's Hospital. Coming up next, we'll find out what's happening in Scottish politics with this news that the First Minister, Humza Yousaf, is set to resign.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.